with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Today we are going to look at the insulin pump, which is a good example of assistive technology that helps people with a disability have increased quality of life. In this case, the disability is type 1 diabetes. This is a lifelong autoimmune disease that usually occurs in childhood, but can be diagnosed at any age. It is treated by administering insulin. The insulin pump is a small, computerized device that delivers a continuous amount of insulin throughout the day via a tiny tube inserted under the skin. It can be programmed to give more or less insulin when required. In order to learn more about this device, Barbara Sullivan spoke on the phone to a credentialed diabetes educator, Cheryl Steele.
Hello, Cheryl. Thanks for joining us today. Now, you're a diabetes educator. Tell us how you became involved.
On a professional level, I'm a registered nurse and a registered midwife, and I got involved in initially diabetes research, looking at type 1 diabetes, which led me to an interest in insulin pumps, which in turn led me to study and become a health counsellor and diabetes educator. Also, on a personal level, I do have type 1 diabetes myself, as do two of my children, although they are now grown up to be young adults. One was diagnosed as a 5-year-old and one as an 11-year-old, so I've got both a personal and a professional interest in diabetes.
Indeed. So give us a brief synopsis of the types of diabetes, if you would, please, Cheryl.
There's type 1 diabetes, which is the autoimmune type, which is what I and my children have. And then there's type 2 diabetes, which is often known as the type of diabetes that older people get, but certainly in today's society, lots of younger people are getting it. And then there's gestational diabetes, which is the type of diabetes that women get during pregnancy, which usually goes away after they've had the baby.
Is the condition on the increase in Australia?
Absolutely. Each type of diabetes is increasing dramatically, and I think we're going to continue to see an increase for the foreseeable future.
Do you have an idea about percentages there? You say dramatic.
Well, in the type 1 community, there's an increase of around 4% per year, particularly in the younger age groups. I'm talking preschool age. In type 2 diabetes, we're looking at having close to 1 million Australians with type 2 diabetes within the next year.
That's a very alarming. Let's talk about type 1 diabetes. How is it most commonly treated, or how has it been most commonly treated to date?
Well, type 1 diabetes must be treated with insulin. There's no other option, and insulin must be injected, whether it's via a syringe, an insulin pen, or an insulin pump. At the moment, that's our only option for type 1 diabetes.
Well, that brings us to the subject of today's program, the insulin pump. How long has that technology been around?
Very primitive insulin pumps have actually been around for a surprisingly long time, but the modern, shall we say, insulin pump first emerged in the 1980s and made its way to Australia from the 1990s.
Perhaps you could describe the device for us, please, Cheryl, its physical appearance and what it does.
Absolutely. So an insulin pump is really just a small electronic device about the size of a pager or a very small mobile phone. It holds insulin, which is in a little reservoir, and then there's tubing that goes from the insulin pump to the actual wearer and a small subcutaneous cannula that goes in under the skin. And the pump, of course, has various buttons that you can push to deliver the insulin.
And how is it fitted?
Well, the actual patient is taught to fit it themselves, or in the case of a small child, the parent. There's a small subcutaneous cannula, which is made of Teflon or plastic-type substance that's inserted in under the skin, and the patient is actually taught to change that themselves, and then there's a piece of tubing between that cannula and the actual insulin pump. So it's not a procedure as such as you would imagine going into hospital and having something inserted. It's a process that the patient actually learns themselves.
And they can take that out. They don't have to wear that all the time.
That's right. Each 3 days, in fact, they must change it to a new site so that the actual area where the insulin is infusing gets constantly rotated.
And this can be on any part of the body?
Normally it's on the abdomen or on the upper outer part of the buttock or in the top of the thigh.
Now, if I were a type 1 diabetic, what would it cost me to have it fitted?
Okay, well, if you're lucky enough to have private health insurance, usually your private health insurance will fully cover the cost of the insulin pump. You may be out of pocket for your diabetic specialist and your diabetes educator, and you would also be required to see a dietitian to help you learn how to count carbohydrates. Or if you don't have private health insurance, there is a government grant available that for under 18-year-olds will supply 80% of the cost of the insulin pump, and then either the patient or the parent has to make up the difference in the cost. And insulin pumps themselves are not cheap. They're a very expensive item if you're buying it out of pocket.
So is that where you step in your role as educator, when somebody has the device fitted?
Well, I actually get involved prior to the patient getting the device fitted. I would first of all see them for a pre-assessment visit, and that would be looking at explaining to the patient or the parent exactly what an insulin pump does, what they can expect from the pump, the amount of work that they have to contribute to get good outcomes from their insulin pump. I would also discuss the different pumps that are on the market, because there is a choice and different ones might suit different people's needs. I would also discuss with them the type of infusion set. So that's a little bit that goes in under the skin. Some of them are inserted by hand. Some have a device to insert them. So it's important that the patient understands that, and also that they need to have good advice around how to quantify the carbohydrate that they're eating in a meal, because without that, the pump can't give accurate doses. So I would start off there, and then I would be actively involved in teaching the patient how to program their pump, how to insert the cannula, all the safety issues around that. And then after that, I would see them on an ongoing basis to make sure that they're getting the best use out of the device.
Is there a particular age that you'd recommend people have it fitted?
Actually, we've had children as young as a 37-week-old baby in Victoria started on an insulin pump with very involved parents who have been, of course, really managing the pump rather than the baby, right up to I myself have patients in their 80s. So it's really a matter of the patient being motivated and also having the ability to understand the education provided. And then really those that get the major benefit are the ones that can really learn to self-titrate and adjust the settings as they need to. But, of course, there's always a health professional in the background if they do need assistance.
So those are the people that have convinced of the advantages over having to inject themselves daily. What are the advantages, just in a nutshell?
Well, there are lots and lots of advantages to having an insulin pump. I guess the most important one from the point of view of the patient is increased quality of life, which they achieve by having far greater flexibility with their insulin requirements. They can be running late for a meal and not risk having a low blood sugar. They can vary the amount of food that they eat with a meal. So if it's very hot and you're not feeling very hungry, you're not forcing yourself to eat something just because you have to have insulin. The insulin pumps can give doses in a smaller an increment as 0.025 of a unit, and you could never achieve that with a syringe or a pen. And there's also the advantage of just using one type of insulin. So the insulin pump is putting in tiny little bits of insulin continuously, like your pancreas would if it still worked. And then on top of that, they give a surge of insulin when they're going to eat. So it's far closer to how a normal pancreas would work as opposed to where you're giving injections. They would be the main advantages that people would see in using an insulin pump.
Are there any disadvantages?
Some people don't like the idea of being hooked up to a device 24 hours a day, which really you are when you're using an insulin pump. You can disconnect it for showering and all those sorts of things. But basically, if you are wearing a pump, it's a 24-hour-a-day thing. And some people say they find that as a constant reminder of their diabetes and find it quite psychologically overwhelming. So insulin pumps are not for everybody, by all means.
But generally, users of the pump are satisfied with their decision.
Absolutely. As a doctor I work with always says, people with diabetes don't come to his rooms for a consult and say, I love my syringe or I love my pen, but they certainly come and say, I love my insulin pump.
And have there been refinements to the technology to help reduce any particular complications?
Insulin pumps are amazing with the progress that they're making. They're becoming smaller, the doses they can give are smaller, and there's also now with some of the pumps the opportunity to what they call augment the pump by wearing a device that continuously monitors the glucose levels and can thereby warn the wearer of the pump of impending low blood sugars or high blood sugars so they can react before they actually end up with a dangerously low or a dangerously high blood sugar level.
What are you doing to increase consumer awareness?
Well, there's lots of things that are happening. I think through our diabetes organisations, such as Diabetes Australia and each of their state and territory branches, they have meetings for consumers about insulin pumps. Each of the companies have websites that people can access through our diabetes clinics, whether it's with our children's clinics or our adult clinics. We certainly talk to people who would be eligible for an insulin pump to discuss if it might be the right choice for them. There's also things like diabetes camps put on by diabetes organisations where often there'll be some of the children wearing a pump and some not, and when the children not on pumps get home, they're usually nagging mum and dad, can I have an insulin pump too? So there's lots of awareness out there, but I think as always it's the cost for parents, whether or not they can afford private health insurance. And even with the government subsidy, there's still a sizable financial contribution that the parents have to make. And then there's the ongoing running cost to buy the consumables through Diabetes Australia to keep their insulin pump running.
Well, Cheryl, with diabetes on the increase, you're fulfilling a really important role in enhancing the quality of life for people with diabetes. Long may your good work continue.
Thank you very much. And to everybody out there living with diabetes, I would say stay positive, because the technology is growing at an astronomical rate and I'm sure there's bigger and better things to come.
Thank you, Cheryl.
My pleasure.
That was Cheryl Steele speaking with Barbara Sullivan. For more information, please contact Diabetes Australia in your state. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.